what just happened was not that Monsignor Pope washed feet of some very special parishioners who represent you all, but Jesus Christ did that. Are we clear on that? And I saw that some of you were very deeply moved at this experience, and also probably the cold water. But I saw that some of you were deeply moved, and I just wonder, brothers and sisters, can we all be deeply moved that the Lord Jesus Christ not only washed our feet, but died in our place? Somewhere, somehow, for it to really begin to dawn on us what the Lord has done for us. At the end of the washing of the feet, the Lord said and asked this question, and on Palm Sunday, I asked you to ponder this question. Do you realize what I have just done for you? Do you realize? Do you understand what I have done for you? And isn't that really our journey? To every year, more and more, begin to understand just what He's done for us in washing our feet, in shedding His blood, in feeding us with His body and blood. Do I realize what Jesus Christ has done for me? Tonight, we're in the upper room, and the Lord has just washed our feet. And with Peter, we were shocked and moved that Jesus Christ would do that for us. Some who had their feet washed were shedding tears. We should all be so moved at what Jesus Christ does for us. Tonight we're in the upper room. And at the beginning of the Last Supper, when Jesus sat down to table with them, actually they didn't sit at table, they reclined. They had a low table and they were reclining on their elbows in the Mediterranean style or fashion. They didn't sit at tables like we sit at. And He's reclining there at table with them. And He says something, and I want you to hear these words as if for the first time from the Gospel of Luke. I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The old Latin Bible put it so beautifully. Desidero desideravi. With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Tonight, can you let the Lord say that to you? He's not saying it to just a group of men some 2,000 years ago. We're in the upper room right now. We're with Him. And Jesus says again, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The love, the desire that Jesus has for each and every one of us. When I was in school, I remember learning what we called the Greek categories. We were told that God was the unmoved mover. And I don't know about all the Greek categories. I just know that in the Bible, God is passionate. He's not unmoved at all. He's deeply moved. He loves us with a passion.
Amen.
And the Lord says to us tonight, with desire, I have desired
Amen.
To eat this Passover with you. Do you know that you're lovable? Some of us might sometimes think, I'm someone only God could love. We're not easy to love, but the Lord loves us.
Amen.
With desire. I'm so glad you're here, says the Lord. Every time you walk in the doors of this church to be fed by Him, because every Mass that we celebrate is that perpetual sacrifice that we heard about in the Old Testament. The people were to keep it as a perpetual sacrifice. And we in the New Testament have it in a fulfilled form in the Holy Mass. How pleased Jesus is every time you walk through the doors of this church. And He says to you, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. He is moved, desirous of us being with Him so He can feed us tonight. Now, this night, I want to talk to you, as I've already done, about the desire of this night. And how the Lord longed for this Passover supper with His disciples. And that's us. But I also want to say to you that this night was not easy for Jesus. Scripture says that He went to Jerusalem that final time, knowing everything that would happen to Him. Can you imagine knowing that as soon as you walked out this church door, you would be in a horrible car accident and laid up for months? Can you imagine the grief? And there would be nothing that you could do that would stop it. It was going to happen. Can you imagine the fear and trepidation, the anxiety that you would have in this church tonight, knowing that as soon as you walked out that door, something awful was going to happen? Jesus, brothers and sisters, knew everything that would happen to Him. Tonight, at the end of this liturgy, we're going to make a procession in this church. We're walking with Jesus across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives, the Garden of, and the Mount of Olives. And Jesus experiences grave anxiety, so grave that He sweats blood. Doctors say that this is a rare phenomenon in the human person, that when such grief and such anxiety overtakes a person, that the capillaries of the skin compress and the blood oozes through the skin. Like sweat, but it's blood. It's a sign of horrendous grief, of horrendous anxiety. If you've ever struggled with panic attacks, if you've ever struggled with grief and anxiety and sleepless nights, just know Jesus had them too. Tonight is not an easy night for Jesus. And yet He says to us, I, with desire, have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Did the apostles console Him? Hardly. It was a difficult night. If you've ever studied the Last Supper text, let's just say it was sad. You ever plan a party and you wanted everything to go into something awful and everything came unraveled and the whole thing was a disaster? Well, brothers and sisters, the Lord loves us. And sometimes we're hard to love. I just made a few notes to myself here. Some of the stuff that went on at the Last Supper that Jesus had to endure. Because not only is there the desire of this night, but there's also the distress of this night. And some of His distress came from us. They're in the upper room and we know that there's a callous crime committed. One of you, He says, will betray me. Judas gets up that night and goes out to betray Him. The Bible says in the book of John, the Gospel of John, and it was night. Now the darkness, now the night is at its fullest. So there's a callous crime that is committed that night. But not only that, there's a confused commotion. When Jesus said, "One of you will betray me," who is it? Who is it, Lord? Is it I? Who is it? Tell us who it is. And Jesus says, "The one who dips his hand into the dish after me is the one." So short was their attention span that when Judas actually did so, their mind was somewhere else. Confusion, commotion. Who is it? Who is it? I don't know what. Who is it? When you don't. And then as soon as Jesus signals who it is, do they rush to his defense? Their mind is elsewhere. The next thing that happens is horrendous when you think about it. He just washed their feet. Instead of giving you an example, you know what they do? They got into a debate at the table, at the very table of the Last Supper. They got into a debate about who was the greatest. Amazing. All through Scripture, there's something known as the inept response. Jesus gives a teaching, and the apostles show right away that they don't get it. You must wash each other's feet. The greatest among you will be the servant of all. And they not only do not come to Jesus' defense when Judas goes out, but they don't even notice it because they're debating about who's the greatest. We're hard to love, aren't we? Hard to love. And then Jesus tries to give more teaching to them. He says, "I am going now, and where I go, you will one day follow." And Thomas interrupts him. "We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" "Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life." In other words, "Thomas, follow me." "We don't even know where you're going," he says. "How can we follow you?" Philip interrupts and says, "Show us the Father, then we'll be satisfied." Imagine. He's just washed their feet. Trying to teach them. They're debating about who's the greatest. They're interrupting him and chiding him all through the talk. "You're not being clear. Tell us more what you mean. We don't understand you." Not only that, but then there's what I call the comic credibility gap. Finally, Jesus gives more teaching. They say, "Now we believe." And Jesus says, "Oh, you believe, do you? In a few moments, you're going to leave me all quite alone." And Peter says, "Though everyone betray you and leave you, I will never leave you." Peter. "Before the cock crows, you will have denied me 3 times. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you." Can I say this to you tonight? As your pastor, it's my job to somehow image Christ for you, to stand at this altar along with Father Rick and the other priest here to be Christ for you. To, as we say in the old theological books, to act in the person of Christ. And I want to say this, that I love you very much. And God has really put in my heart a deep, deep love for every one of you. This is my favorite liturgy of the year, this Holy Thursday liturgy. And this love that Jesus has for you, I want you to know I feel it very powerfully in my heart. Because He's given it to me too. And I wish I could say that I love you perfectly like He does. But I just know a brief glimpse of how much Jesus loves you. Because He always In the last two times I've had, I've always said this to him when I went. When I went to St. Thomas More and when I came here, I said, Lord, give me the grace to really love the people here like you love them. And the Lord has never failed me. I can't say that I love him to the degree, to love you to the degree that he loves you, because only he can love you that way. But I just know that he's put in my heart a deep love for you. And so I too can say tonight, with desire, I have desired to share this Passover with you. Just please know, I do it imperfectly, but your pastor loves you with all my heart. I'm glad to be here, and I love you. And it was a great privilege to wash the feet of some of us here tonight. Jesus desires to be with us tonight. And I'm a witness because he's put that desire in my heart too. And all of us who are priests here tonight are celebrating the birthday of the priesthood. Because at that table that night, he said to those apostles, take bread and wine and do this in memory of me. It is my body. It is my blood. And we confess in the church that it is on this night that the Lord Jesus established the priesthood so that the people of God would always be fed with his body and blood. So pray for your priest tonight. Pray for your pastor. Pray for Father Rick and myself. Pray for Father Michael and Father Lazarus who is here. Pray for all the priests that you know. It's a very special night for us who are priests, because the Lord established the unending sacrifice of his body and blood and said to his first priest, the apostles, do this in memory of me. And the final thing I want to say to you tonight, and I've said it to you before, and I hope you have heard it before, because I think repetition is the mother of studies. But tonight, we have the final wish of a dying friend. Jesus, before he went to his cross, asked us to do a few things. And these are the final wishes of a dying friend. First of all, he washes our feet tonight. And he says, I've just given you an example. Learn to wash each other's feet. Whatever that means. And you know what it means? It means we have to learn to humble ourselves. To get down on our knees, to get low, and serve. One of the final wishes of a dying friend was that we would learn to serve each other with love and with humility. Not to have debates about who's the greatest. For the greatest among you is the servant of everyone. The second wish, he prayed at the Last Supper that all would be one. I pray that they be one. Heavenly Father, like you and I are one. If there is division between any two people in this church tonight, I am begging you to ask God to help you to be free of that division. If there's division in your family, if there's animosity or hatred or bitterness or vengefulness, if it's in your heart, I'm begging you, the final wish of a dying friend, Jesus, is that you and I can be free of that. And make peace with one another. And the final wish of a dying friend is this. Do this in memory of me. Do what? He took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and said, this is my body, which is for you, broken. And he took the cup that was filled with wine, and he said, this is the cup of my blood of the new and everlasting covenant, which will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me. What do I mean by the final wish of a dying friend? I told this to the youth at a mass some months ago, and I'm going to tell it to you again. What if you were crossing the street with a good friend of yours, and a truck or a bus came barreling down, and your friend saw the truck coming and pushed you out of the way and took the full force of that bus and was hit and dying in the road, and you ran up to your friend who was breathing their last breath, and you said to them, "What is it that I can ever do for you for saving me? I'm so grieved by your suffering now that I'm losing you. What can I ever do?" And your friend were to look up and say to you, "Please be in church every Sunday and remember me at the altar of God." Would you do it? Well, guess what? The final wish of a dying friend is that we would gather, take bread, take wine, through the priest, have them become his body and blood, and receive him every Sunday. He says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." You heard the psalm tonight? What can I ever do for the Lord for everything that he's done for me? What return could I ever make to God for all the good he's done for me? And the psalm says what? "I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord." Tonight, you will be offered the precious body of our Lord. And you will be offered the cup of salvation. And I want you to hear those words. And as the chalice is lifted high at Mass tonight, I want you to hear, "I will take the cup of salvation." God has told us what we should do to give thanks for what he's done. To take that cup, to be faithful. I'm so glad you're here tonight. Jesus is so glad you're here tonight.
Amen.
He wants to feed us on his body and blood. And tonight, we are fulfilling the final wish of a dying friend. We're learning to wash each other's feet, to come together in unity, and to take the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Tell your loved ones that the final wish of a dying friend named Jesus was that we would be in his house every Sunday and take the cup of salvation and call on his name. Do this in remembrance of me. With desire, I have desired to share this Passover with you before I suffer. And tonight, the Lord gives us very precious teaching. Do this. Never fail to be in God's house on Sunday, because you know what he's asked. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen.